The Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? Unlike a car with its user's manual, we are born without instructions how to live. We experience life vicissitudes without a so-called user's manual. The Gita has been described as such a guide. These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda, which he has been delivering for more than 25 years. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We obviously have been discussing the yoga of meditation. We went through several chapters with the Karma Yoga, then culminating the karma into wisdom, and then sannyasa yoga, and now we are saying dhyana yoga, so the yoga of meditation. And we have so far seen that all that we are doing this is for the atma suddhaye, for the purification of my internal instrument, that my mind and intellect, which is the internal instrument, that's the only task I have as a seeker, is to purify my mind and intellect. And then my real self will shine through, that I will realize who I am. The peace which I had been seeking all my life, you know. Bhagavan said in the last verse we have discussed that you will then achieve that Santim Nirvana Paramam Matsanstam Adhigachade. In the verse 15, which I discussed last time, it said, having gone through this and you have done this, this yoga of meditation, which is to how to control your mind, how to sit still, control your body, control your senses, control your mind, and then focus on yourself. Then focus on me as your supreme goal. Then you will find that peace which you had been looking all your life. That's because that peace resides in me, the supreme self. The peace I'm seeking in this world does not exist in this world. And therefore, me seeking the peace in this world is something like, if, let's say, for there's a one weekend at King's Dominion, there's a free ride, that you can take as many rides, as many times, no tickets needed, or no attendants are going to stop you from taking that ride over and over again. And we go on that roller coaster ride, because we say, well, this is a great chance. I know it's a lot of fun, and here it is that there is no restriction how many time I can take it. So I go on the roller coaster, and while I'm going through the roller coaster, I'm constantly thinking, well, if this thing can stabilize, I'll really feel good about it, you know. Boy, it is going up and down. I can't even predict when it's going to go up and when it's going to come down. If it just stabilizes, I'll feel good about it. But because of my desire to have this fun, I'm not getting off the roller coaster. And after a while, I get so engrossed into this, I don't even realize when it stops and starts again. And I'm constantly thinking, if this stabilizes, I may feel a little better about it. At that point, some roller coaster guru can come and say, if you really want it stabilized, why don't you get off this roller coaster when it stops next time? You know. So I say, well, then what do I need to do? I say, well, just focus on when it stops. When it stops, you get out, and then you'll be in a stable ground, which is what your real place is, on a stable ground. That's where you were before. Before you decided you want to have this unlimited fun on this roller coaster, because there is no fee today. There is no restriction on how many times you can take it. You say, well, I'll basically take it as long as I can stand there. But in that goal, I forgot that what I'm seeking is stability. That's my true nature. That's what I'm daily living. But in that quest for getting this unlimited fun, in what I always thought is a great fun, but I did not go there because it cost so much, now that my chance to do it free, I'm on a roller coaster, constantly seeking for the stability, which does not exist in roller coaster. Very nature of roller coaster is to go up and down. And I forgot that. So some guru comes and said, just focus on yourself. When you see a little stability, that's where the roller coaster stops. You get out of it. And then you will find that stability which you had been seeking all throughout this roller coaster will be yours, because it resides outside this roller coaster. Bhagavan says, the santim nirvana paramam. That santi which only gets when you are liberated from this rut of this limited being trying to seek happiness and peace in this world outside, you will achieve that. Because your mind and intellect is now pure to experience the joy which resides in the self. And once you unite with that self, mat sanstham adigachati, you will achieve that state of my being. And then the last three verses which you've seen, which is 16, 17, and 18. And it said, what we tend to think is, well, I need to live my life as I'm living, but then I need to have like 15 minutes in the morning, I'm going to meditate, you know, and then I'll achieve this state of param shanti. Well, that's absolutely is a false notion, you know. To do a meditation, you have to prepare for doing meditation. So how do we prepare for it? The Bhagavan says that the yoga is not possible for people who live life without any control, undisciplined life. And to live undisciplined life, and then I sit down and do yoga. A lot of people have this strong notion that I am living this dynamic life of working for 18 hours a day, but because I have 15 minutes of meditation, then I can go on for another 18 hours. Bhagavan clearly says that that's not the reality. That's not possible. You live a life which is hectic and uncontrolled, you will not be able to meditate at all. And therefore it says, na ati asnatastu yoga aste. One who eats too much, for him yoga is not there. I'm indulging. In other words, if I'm indulging in the sense gratifications, yoga is not possible. Nacha ekantam anasnataha. Also not possible for one who doesn't eat at all. One who is completely avoiding any of this, you know, fulfillment for this body. And so one is not eating at all. One is eating too much is also not possible for him. One is not eating at all, it is not possible for him. It clearly says that torturing my body and senses unnecessarily will not make me any more worthy of meditation than a person who is moderately living life. So live a disciplined life, you know. Nacha ati swapna shilasya. Swapna shil, swapna, one who is engaged in swapna, one who is dreaming. Dreaming is only possible when you are sleeping. So it's a one who is swapna shil. Now swapna shil, I can be swapna shil while I'm waking in this world also. Because from the point of Vedanta, the swapna extends from my dream world into the waking world. Waking world is nothing but another glorified dream, you know, from the Vedanta's perspective. Then nacha swapna shilasya, who is sleeping too much in this or not sleeping at all. Jagrato naeva charjuna, or constantly awake in this world, more engaged in this world, not taking enough sleep, or not eating at all, more eating. Anything which is extreme is to be avoided, Bhagavan says, because it will not give you the purity of yourself, the control over yourself to focus your mind. And it's very, enlightening that this is not something which is a sacred knowledge which only you learn from Bhagavad Gita. People learn on their own when they want to achieve something, We definitely will say, well, tomorrow I cannot do this because I have to wake up early and do this, so I'm not coming to that party or I'm not going to a late night movie. If I'm serious about what I'm going to do next day, I saw two interviews on TV by two Bollywood stars, which I probably wouldn't think that has ever gone to any of the schools of philosophy. Both of them are basically known for their good looks, like Akshay Kumar and John Abraham. I heard them on short interviews, and the first thing they said is that, how do you do that? They say, well, I live a very disciplined life. Now, you won't think that you will hear from a Bollywood star, but both of them said that the only way we can achieve this stardom and maintain it by living a very disciplined life. I don't do this, I don't, stay awake after 9 o'clock or whatever, I go to sleep by that time, this, I wake up early. Akshay Kumar had some show and said this show has to be, only be, recorded at 6 o'clock in the morning, but that's the only time he will be available. He won't be staying late or doing this. And he said, I'm very disciplined, I do this, exercise daily. And I heard exact same thing from John Abraham's interview on somewhere. Now, I wouldn't really think that they have a great knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, or somebody told them. They themselves figured out that if I want to maintain my success, the only way I can maintain it is by living a disciplined life. So anyone who is serious about success eventually finds out that success is only possible by living a moderate life of moderation. So Bhagavad Gita says, if I'm not clear about that and think that meditation will be a panacea, that it will solve all the problems, then I can live, as Meena said, I take Lipitor and after that I can eat anything I want. Because I'm on Lipitor, That's not a smart idea, right? Because any time a doctor gives me medication, it says, Neil, you have a cholesterol problem, here's the medication. But medication only will work well if you control your diet and do the following things. So anything which I want to achieve, the moderation is the key. Bhagavan says, so first of all, it says, yoga is not for the people who live an extreme life, Then the positive message is yukta ahara viharasya yukta chestasya karmasu yukta sapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha. So now it says, well, did I really forget why I'm doing this yoga? Why did I start all this thing in the first place, If I have to do this moderate life and all this fun I used to have at the parties at night, I have to give up on all that. Why do I even start to get into something like that? He said, you are doing it, my friend, to get rid of your dukkha. All the sorrows which you have, you want to get rid of it. When? Every moment of your life. There's not a single moment where I can say, this pain is great, Well, it really feels good, Unless you heard this, he said, well, somebody was banging his head, and I don't know who said, it's pretty famous, he said, somebody was banging his head, said, why are you banging your head against the wall? He said, because it feels good when I stop. Just to get that feeling of good when you stop, you don't bang your head against the wall. You want to get rid of any pain that you have in your life, physical, mental, intellectual. You want to get rid of it as quickly as possible, in the easiest way it is possible. And Bhagavan says that yukta ahara viharasya. First of all, the person who is moderate in ahar, consumption of all these sense objects, Vihara. Vihara means moving around, going. When we do it, vacation, cruise, But then sometimes there's more work, isn't it? So that you have to do in moderation too. Recreation also in moderation is good. I used to watch movies when I was a student, because in those days there was the only entertainment. Sometimes from 12 to 3, then go to the next 3 to 6, 6 to 9. By the time the last show comes, even though how much interest I am, well, not the fourth one. I think the 3 movies in a day is plenty. Because at some point of time, that joy you can't tolerate anymore. You know, that also gives you pain. So even the recreation, if it becomes too much, gives you pain. So you have to be moderate even in recreation, in the ahara and vihara. You know, yukta cheshtasya karmasu. You know, people will feel very good, or I feel very good. I say, well, Neil, you're a very hardworking man. You know, you're constantly working. I said, well, that's very good. You know, then I remember all the times Swamiji used to say, he's a man of dynamism, worked 18 hours a day. Then what happened? He said, dropped dead at the age of 40. That's not really a compliment if somebody tells you you're an alcoholic or very hardworking man. Hardworking is good, but obsessively hardworking is a disease. It's not really something which you should be proud of, because eventually it leads to all kinds of sorrows for me. So therefore it says, yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Even one who engage in actions in a moderate way, you know. Say, karmas also, not that if I do 100 karmas is good, so 1,000 will be 10 times good. Moderate karmas in my own limitations. Therefore, the general idea that if I'm only doing good actions, then unlimited amount of good actions will lead me to unlimited amount of peace. We all figured out, those of us who thought that that's a great idea, doing public works or community, it leads to more pain. Because you're doing it beyond your limitations. So even there it says, yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Even there you need to know your limitation and do it in moderation. Whether it's a sattvic karma, rajasic karma or tamasic karma, has to be in moderation. And say, yukta swapna avabodhasya. And obviously, we talked about swapna, this sleep or dream state. And avabodha, the waking state. And a dream state, as we say, from the Vedanta's point, is other than deep sleep, where there is no experience, there's lack of experience in deep sleep. You know, neither an experience of joy nor experience of sorrow. Neither an experience of comfort nor an experience of discomfort. That's what we call deep sleep. If I say I was very comfortably sleeping, you're not in a deep sleep. You're very aware that you are sleeping comfortably. So deep sleep is no experience. Swapna is, as Sarai pointed out last, is the misapprehension of the reality. Swapna is my mind projects its own reality. And then I'm engaged into it. And then either I feel good or bad, depending on where I am on that swapna. So that swapna, in this case, is basically related to the dream, or the sleep, you know. So either I am sleeping too much, then I have too many dreams and too many, you know. Or avabodhasya, if I don't sleep at all. You know, or waking too much, you know. Swamiji kind of relates that to slightly at a higher level and says, swapna, also this dream state and the awaking state is also swapna. The world which I think, my waking world, is also a projection of my mind. We actually, if you think about it for 1 minute calmly, you will realize that each of us has so many different worlds. Your world is different than mine because you are the center of your world. I am a center of my world, he is in center of his world, she is in center of her world. So there are, how many worlds are there? As many people are there, as many worlds are there. Then why don't we think that there is only one world? Because our world overlaps on each other's world. That becomes our relationship. For this 1.5 hour, your world and mine have overlapped. I am in center of my world, you're in center of your world, but they're both overlapping. That overlapping portion we consider our relationship. So when you say, well, do you know Himanshu? I say, yeah, he comes to my class. That's my relationship. What does Himanshu do other than that? I have no idea. You know. But I think I know Himanshu. You know why? Because my relationship, this limited relationship I consider, is the only thing I need to know about him. I know him. I will never say I don't know Himanshu. I know him. He's right here. My overlapping of my world is yours creates this. So who created this definition of who Himanshu is? I did, not him. So that's also swapna. It's a world created by my mind, where I say, I know him, I know him, I know him, I know her. My mind. Therefore say, yukta swapna. I should be moderate in my projecting my own world. I should be very much aware of its own limitations, you know. And avabodhasya. I'm now trying to awake from this dream, which I consider my world, into the world which I consider to be real, which is as Mandukya, because we talked about Karika, Mandukya Upanishad said, these are the three states which I live in a sleep and deep sleep. But I'll wake up in the fourth state, the Turiya Avastha. The fourth state will be a true awakening state, where I'll wake up to my real self and realize that all these worlds which I have created, either in the dream or in my awaking, was not real, was unreal. Created by my own mind. Once my mind has been purified and stripped off all its likings and dislikings, what shined through is my own self. Now I realize who I am. Therefore it says, yukta swapna avabodhasya. This quest for the awakening, which is in this case a meditation, because we're talking about it, that also if I do too much, can become problem. People, I do remember we used to, long time ago, we were at in Houston in Gaurang Bhai's class when my first time I started, and there are a few people coming from Hare Krishna and all those other groups, and Americans mainly, sorry to say. And they all say, oh, Neil, I had a very nice meditation yesterday. I meditated for 6 hours. And I'll be completely impressed because I can't meditate for 20 minutes. So I'll say, Gaurang Bhai, you know, these people, he said, Nilkant, don't get caught into this thing, you know. You can't meditate for 6 hours. You can't meditate for 8 hours. You can't meditate for 10 hours. Meditation is not something which is, if you prolong it for hours and hours, that you know. Even there you have to be in moderation. Because mind will start losing its bearing if it that happens. So it says, therefore it says, yukta swapna avabodhasya. Even in the quest of awakening, you have to be in moderation. Therefore, last time I said that, I read somewhere that when Swami, Ramakrishna Paramahans, when he is this samadhi, will suddenly wake up and ask for, get me the sweets or get me this, you know. I don't lose the bearings of my mind. They say, yukta swapna avabodhasya. Yogo bhavati dukkha. For such a person, this yoga becomes the remover of all sorrows. That's what I need in my life, is something which removes all the sorrows. I was looking for a one remedy which works in all cases, you know. Yoga is the one Bhagwan said. This yoga of a moderation, of a moderate living, will remove all sorrows from your life. Ahara vihara, swapnava bodhasya, and yukta chestasya karmasu. It actually covers everything that I can think of as part of my existence. Everything I must do in moderation. That lifestyle itself will become the remover of all sorrows in my life, Bhagwan said. The last verse we had seen says, Yada viniyatam chittam atmani eva avatishtate nispruhaha sarvakamebhyaha yukta iti uchyate tada. We started out with this yogi and sannyasi. Who is a yogi, who is a sannyasi? Then we said they both are the same. Well, let's talk about then how then can become a yogi. And say, well, maybe out of all the other yoga, also consider dhyana yoga, the meditation is another means to become a yogi. And now I had been practicing dhyana yoga. When do I consider myself to be a yogi? Bhagavan said, here it is, a litmus test. Yada viniyatam chittam. Chitta, that thinking faculty, that which is thinking, chintan kartru chittam, that which is thinking is the chittam. Whether it is a mind or intellect or ego, but it's a thinking entity. When that thinking entity is viniyatam, I can control it. I control my thinking entity. Not my thinking entity controls me. And Meena will say, that's very easy because I cannot hear when she's saying something. I was thinking something else. That's because I'm controlling.
I'm keeping all
this wisdom practicing. Okay. Yada viniyatam chittam. Even this activity of my chitta must be in control. Because we know what happens. Mind runs away, you know, after a while. And loses its bearing. I was thinking properly for a while, and then we can do this, and then I'll do this, and all. Then after a while, it gets out of control and goes into daydreaming. You know. So therefore, the activity of your mind should be controlled. When I gain that control, the viniyatam chittam, that's one qualification. Atmani eva avatishtate, that I can have all this thinking about myself, in myself. In other words, I constantly be aware that no matter what I'm thinking about a science, arts, whatever, in the end, it is the self which is the enjoyer. It is the self which is the power which allows me to think about this. I can only think about an art or a science or whatever the philosophy as long as I'm alive. That power lies in my consciousness, in myself. The self has actually no desire. Self has no demands of its own. It only fuels whatever is my limited being is doing. So it says, Yada viniyatam chittam atmani eva avatishtate. It's constantly rooted this thinking in the self. It constantly knows that this limited relationship I'm creating as the father, mother, architect, engineer, doctor, scientist, it's all impermanent. And it's created by my own mind. In the end, I am still the self which is not have anything to do with this relationship. He said, nispruhaha. Therefore, he is without nispruha. Spruha, the word is pretty interesting, because I heard in my child all the time. My mother used to very freely use that for some reason. You know. Yeah, my mother used to constantly say, "You know, you should not have this pruha for this." She did not say you shouldn't have desire for this thing. This pruha means a longing, a constant longing for something. You know, I use that BMW. My constant longing for something can create problems. It's a nispruhaha. It truly doesn't say that you are not requiring anything from life or you don't have a desire, well, I need to eat, so where is... All that is a normal life. But a longing for something which becomes an obsession should be avoided. It's a nispruhaha. He has a control over his thinking and therefore he controls the longing for anything. Knows that if I get it will be great, but there is no guarantee in this world that I'll get it what I want. So you become nispruhaha. Sarva kamebhyaha. He becomes nispruha about all the desire, kamebhyah, for all the desire for the objects of desires. It doesn't say that he doesn't want any objects in life. I do need, I need to survive, I need food, I need clothes, I need house, I need car, all the things I need for my survival and for my interactions with this world. But there is no longing for any of these things. That if I don't get it, what will happen? You know? So I don't long for a particular food. People used to say, well, we can really, you know, we can live here because I can't have my mother's food. I actually know my own mama, you know, who got a job in a State Bank of India. I'm talking about 40 years ago. In those days, the bank's job used to consider one of the highest job you can get, highest paid, most reputable. Only problem is he had to leave Bardoli and go to Indore. And once he went there, even though he was living with his cousin sister, he said, well, I can live here because I can't get my mother's food here in Indore. You know. He left the job, came back to Bardoli, and all his life after that, he kept looking for bank's job. Seriously. Because at that time the longing for something was so strong that new environment he just can't fit in. You know. So Bhagavan says that nispruhaha, as long as my mother's food is available, it is perfect. But if I have to live with my wife's food, that will be fine too. You learn first thing, Himansu, that well, you are not mother. We have seen this thing, you know, conflict, you know. So somebody says that I don't have any desire. That's also not true. But not having a longing is a very real goal in life, Krishna says. Sarva kamebhyah yukta iti uchyate tada. Then a person can be considered as united with his self, the higher self. Even though I'm the living a normal life of a limited being, as God has, you know, destined for me, but I am constantly connected with the higher self. You know, it's like when my laptop is connected to the power cord, it is constantly connected. I don't worry about when it's going to run out. When it is disconnected, the battery has only very limited power, and I'm constantly worried about the battery is going to run out. When I'm working on my limited ego, I'm like on that battery. That ego will run out its steam pretty soon. But when I'm connected to the self, I'm connected to the Virginia power, which has unlimited amount of electricity compared to what my computer wants. So Bhagavan said, such a person, yukta iti uchyate tada, at that time when he becomes nispruhaha sarva kamebhyaha, and then is controlled in his thinking and all his actions, he is considered to be the yogi. And we'll stop right here. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.